Everything is connected, and I'm here to tell you how. I'm Dr. Laura Hansen with Connect My Brain. This podcast is for moms who are concerned about their child's development. The brain impacts our mind, body, and overall health. I explain how your brain is wired, what happens when it's out of balance, and how early childhood development not only impacts your child, but can affect you as an adult years later. Want to know how to improve your life? Join me and learn about your amazing brain and what it can do for you. Hi, everybody. It's Dr. Laura with Connect My Brain. Thanks so much for tuning in. Okay, so we're going to jump right into it. We've been talking about the triangle of development, and we've covered the information regarding eyes and ears. And today we are going to cover my favorite system, which is the vestibular system. What in the world is your vestibular system? Well, it's a very tiny little structure that sits deep into the ear behind the drum. And it has three canals, and it has other structures wrapped around it, but it does an enormous amount of work for us as human beings. I would first like to tell you that I am going to dedicate this podcast to someone that is so special to me. His name is Dr. Larry Schultz. I met Dr. Larry many, many years ago at a conference, and I was looking for something that would give vestibular input to my son. And I was going around the conference where all the vendors were, and I was asking them different questions. And all of a sudden, this man walked up to me and said, "What do you know about the vestibular system?" And I said, "Well, it is the most important system to me, and it is probably my favorite system inside the human body." And from that point on, we became great friends. And that friendship cultivated over many years, over many discussions, and I ultimately thought of him as my earthly father. He was such an amazing man. He created I'm going to call it a shaft of how you could use this particular angle and base to create the ideal vestibular movement. Now, remember what I said about the vestibular system. There's three little canals, and those three canals have a directional influence through a liquid or a gel-like substance that's inside those canals, and it's actually called endolymph fluid, and these little hair follicles. And there's so many connections to the vestibular system, to things like dizziness and vertigo. But boy, is it influential in child development, as well as it has motion to it. So it's not just telling the brain which way you're going. It's not only part of how the entire orchestration of our human physiology moves in our body. For example, our blood travels a very particular direction. And if it doesn't go that direction or it gets blocked, it's a pathology. A conception of life, an egg and a sperm come together in a very particular direction. And without that direction, conception doesn't happen. But it's also part of emotions. So like putting the letter E in front of the word motion. So for example, when you feel empowered and motivated. Your posture shows that type of a frame. When you're sad or depressed, your posture has a frame. When you're anxious, your shoulders might be up by your ears. Your body has a particular frame. So it is not only about, am I going forwards, backwards, side to side, or coupled motions, but it's also about how our body's physiology actually moves. And it represents how you feel inside. So it's a very, very powerful structure. And Dr. Larry figured out a way. This was his life's work. He was actually, I believe he was a Navy man. I'm hoping I got that right, either Navy or Marine, but he was on ships. And when he was a young man, and he was really bothered by how he was committed to being in the service, but being on a ship, he actually had motion sickness. And so it became his quest to figure out what is that and how can I make it better? Well, he created the most amazing motion that could be utilized really on any kind of a chair. Over the years, I've seen it on recliners. I've seen it on, you know, big, very elaborate, almost like that gravity neutral type of a shape. I even seen it on baby cradles. And I actually have five of these apparatuses in my office. And the motion is so beautiful. And it became part of what I call the triangle of development. Larry put so much effort into the development of this motion. And, you know, Over the years, I even walked beside him in trying to get this in nursing homes, in different types of alternative healthcare facilities. And we never got it where he really wanted it to be. And unfortunately, my very, very, very dear friend passed away in August. And that was a real heavy. It's taken me a while to be able to talk without showing my emotions. But I will be forever grateful for what he taught me and how he utilized this motion in his life's work. And he even created a bed that he slept on. And after having to go through so many surgeries for his joints, this was the only thing that brought him relief, was this incredible motion. And he literally created a bed that would give him that type of tilt and movement that would be equal to the vestibular system. So my dear friend, my heart will be forever with you. And I'm so grateful for what you taught me and what you shared with me. So wrapping up the triangle of development, we got to bring the vestibular system into our discussion and then connect the dots of how these three magnificent parts of the human orchestrate something so powerful. And when they're not working correctly, can also be part of why children cannot pay attention, why children have low tone, why an adult might be going through dizziness and vertigo, why somebody might have a heightened response to stress. So the vestibular system is actually believed to be the very first system that comes on board in the womb. And then it's actually believed that it is going to be completely myelinated by the time the baby is born. Now, remember, there's always some type of reference that gives us different timelines. For me, this is the one that makes the most sense. While I do think the vestibular system is still maturing as children go through their developmental journey, because the primitive reflexes are completely yoked to the vestibular system. But it could also be that it's a mature vestibular system that's actually helping those primitive reflexes complete their process and allowing the postural system to take over. So let's understand what we mean by the vestibular system coming on board even before so many other things. Stop and think for a minute just about conception. What drives cellular division? What drives, even prior to that, the egg and sperm coming together? So there's a motion, there's a connection. And as soon as life is formed, that very moment of conception, things begin to change rapidly. And the cells begin to divide and multiply. So there's motion from the very beginning of time. Motion has to be driven by something. This is why all of the papers I've ever read on the vestibular system, where it being the first system to come on board, made complete sense to me. How does it do that? I don't think any of us are 100% sure. But this is where I've talked about in the past about the cellular energy, about mom and dad coming together, mom and dad passing that cellular energy into the baby, that baby's then life forming and becoming real and dividing. And then think about as you go through your pregnancy, whoever you go to, either an OB, a midwife, whatever. But what is the question that they're always asking? Have you felt the baby move? This is imperative to the development of that baby. You move in the womb based on those central pattern generators that were driven by that vestibular motion. And it starts the cascade that we've talked about many, many times of the reflex system. And the reflex system begins with the withdrawal. The withdrawal is our primitive defense system prior to making then a transition into those primitive reflexes. And those primitive reflexes are going to be life-preserving in the very beginning of that baby's life. The first primitive reflex coming on board after the withdrawal system is Moro. And all of the primitive reflexes have a body posture. Connect that dot back to what we talked about, emotion, and how we have a physical frame, a posture representing our emotions. Every primitive reflex has a posture. It has a movement. And movement, all movement, is driven by the vestibular system. So, for example, that transition word I just used related to Moro is also a movement word, transition. And we have to remember, we can't get into our higher brain all the time in making these definitions. We have to first start in how the baby forms. And the baby forms, baby human forms through movement. So even the word transition is reflecting movement, moving from one place to another, one level of development to the next. So we go from the withdrawal reflexes to the primitive reflexes. The posture of the Moro is flexion. And everything that changes within that baby's environment quickly creates this very small extension back to flexion. After the baby is born, which is another movement coming through the birth canal, that movement is going to get even bigger. Because when you come into the world, you are more in flexion, and that is the front part of your body, and you have to balance it out with the back of your body. So the movement is going to get bigger. So breaking down every single one of these primitive reflexes, there is a posture, there is an activation, there is a movement, and that movement is responsible for wiring your baby up, starting in the womb. In one of the podcasts I talked about, we're beginning to really identify the season in the womb can also give us indication as to what this baby's brain is experiencing while under development, while all of the wires are actually being made. So even the movement of those wires in the brain is movement. Everything that's going on in that vestibular system during pregnancy is allowing that baby to become wired. I mentioned this on another podcast as well. So over the past few months, I've actually had two moms tell me my baby did not move while in the womb. The one child that I was assessing had a lot of altered eye movements. The other child, a little bit older, but was having several concussions over a period of time because the little person kept hitting their head because they didn't know where they were in space. Now, there is no script. There is no outline that's going to tell you that if you do not feel movement in your womb while you're pregnant, this is exactly what's going to happen. This is why developmental assessment is so important, because every child is different. Every child's experience is different. While we all have these things inside of us that are the same from one person to the next, it is not a cookbook. Everything that goes on is going to be a reflection of that individual journey. So all of the primitive reflexes that we've talked about, they're listed within the tab on the website under podcasts. There's a whole reflex area. All of the reflexes are attached to the vestibular system. It is absolutely imperative that babies move in the womb. So I can share my own personal. When I was pregnant with my first, I always had this rib pain right on my right-hand side. So as the baby is forming in the womb, they initially start with the head up. And we start with the head up because Wolf's Law, which is a law of physiology, tells us that bone is going to mature wherever stress is. So the baby is upright, gravity is coming down on mommy's belly and is making the skull bones mature. So there's even ossification movement. Ossification is bone growth. There is even ossification, bone growth movement going on in the womb. So it starts with that baby's head up. Now the spine should line up on the mother's left side of her body. because the right side of the body is where the liver is. And the liver is a larger organ. And so babies have a tendency to have their spine to the left of mommy's belly. If babies are not orientated, another movement word, if babies are not orientated into the right posture, another body framework word, then they can get stuck. Lack of movement. So I always had this unbelievable rib pain. So what is supposed to happen when a woman is pregnant is she goes through the production, increased production of a hormone called relaxin. And that is literally like it sounds. It's supposed to relax mommy's torso so that the baby has room to grow, mommy's uterus. It also allows the ribs to expand, especially at the bottom. This is why, unfortunately, us women, after we're pregnant, we don't necessarily go back to looking like we did prior to being pregnant because our body has gone through movement. Our body has gone through change. Now, if my baby got stuck because my body was physiologically not working with the season of pregnancy, then it is very easy for a baby to get stuck. And that's exactly what happened in my first pregnancy. So all of these things play a part. This is why I love chiropractic. When we see pregnant women, we're going to look at the expansion of their ribs. Other things that can happen when you're pregnant is if the ribs are not expanding, baby's kind of cramping you, and it's actually taking from your diaphragm, which is at the bottom of your rib cage, and it's actually pushing everything upward. And so it's not uncommon for women to get numbness and tingling in their hands because it's literally causing too much pressure in a part of your body called your thoracic outlet, which is right at the base of your neck. And the front part would be your collarbone, and the back part would be your shoulder blade, and you have a lot of nerves that go through there. So again, if babies are stuck, not moving, if babies can't do the type of movement that they really need to do, it's going to impact their neurological connections. So big picture idea is, this whole relationship of life starts with movement. Every part of growth and development is requiring movement. And then as we begin to approach the birth process, you have to go through another transition to help that baby get out. I think one of the most incredible parts of the onset of labor and delivery is the unique response by the autonomic nervous system, which is made up of your sympathetics, fight or flight, and your parasympathetics, rest, feed, and breathe. That's your autonomic nervous system, which has lots of stimulation by what goes on in the vestibular system because of chemical exchange. So once that baby, which around 7.5 months is going to turn upside down, begin to descend into the birth canal, now the pelvis is up, getting its ossification centers stimulated. Over the last few weeks of pregnancy, the baby is dropping down. And as it approaches mommy's sacrum, which is the bone between the two pelvic bones, literally that is where you have a bed of parasympathetic neurology. And the baby's actually going to say, okay, I'm ready. Labor and delivery will then commence. But it's a very unique response. Typically, we would say parasympathetics are taking over and this is allowing the transition, but it's not what is really happening, because if you remember, Moro activates three things in the neurology: arousal, CO2O2 reflex, and the sympathetic nervous system. So actually what is dominating during the delivery process, labor and delivery, we'll just put those two together. Labor and delivery, we'll just put those two together. It is actually the sympathetic nervous system that is taking over. But we think of sympathetics as fight or flight, all revved up. But this is what we have to understand about neurology. Depending upon what is going on, the season of what is going on will actually determine how that piece of neurology is going to work. And so the sympathetic nervous system is going to slow everything down. And this is what allows the baby to go through the contractions, like a little Tootsie Roll being pushed down into that birth canal. The reflexes are involved in that birth process. And then that baby is born, but it's all movement. And that movement doesn't stop. Now it's taking on another fabulous picture. Now you are transcending into the world where there's gravity. And you are going to have to first learn how to be part of gravity. And it is your vestibular system that allows you to do that. This is why looking at the developmental milestones are so valuable. And I don't mean the ones that have been recently updated by the CDC. I mean the ones, go look at my app, Connect My Brain, and look at the timeline that children should be doing what they're supposed to be doing. We cannot wait. If we wait, the likelihood is developmental delay. Children should be, babies should be immediately picking up their head in gravity. They should be looking around. That's their eyes. They should be hearing. That's the ear. Those three systems are intimately connected. Your vestibular system is connected to your eyes through the vestibular ocular reflex. Your eyes and ears are connected through the superior and inferior colliculus nerve. Your ear is connected back to your vestibular system through the vestibular cochlear nerve. This is what I refer to as neurological intimacy. Babies should be demonstrating a response of being able to explore in gravity. They should be comfortable on their belly. They should be able to get prone on elbows to start and looking around. And every single time that they master a new movement, you'll see their little heads go back and forth one way or another, stimulating that vestibular system inside of their ear. And they're recalibrating every single time they gain a new milestone, a new action. They are going to recalibrate just like a scuba diver. When they come back up into the Earth's gravity, they don't shoot up like a rocket. They stair step up gradually, gradually recalibrating to the Earth. Same thing was true for the astronauts when they used to go to the moon. And in fact, this is literally how they figured out, well, we got to let these people exercise up there because they're not getting any movement. And when they come back to Earth, they were very swollen. We would not have even recognized them. Even when they showed them on TV after they came back, you never saw them. You saw a picture of them. You saw them when they left, but you saw a picture of them when they came back, because it would have blown our minds at how they looked going up to the moon, coming back, leaving gravity, and the impact it would have on their bodies. Gravity is what a child must learn how to adapt to. Do you know how many babies I have actually seen in my career, 29 years of practice, where they should be able to sit on their bottom and hold their bodies up? And parents would come in going, I'm very concerned. My child doesn't seem to be able to sit properly. And we would literally place that baby on the floor and in a seated position. And literally the baby's upper body and head would just literally go towards the floor, and their whole torso would be laying flat on the floor. And the baby would be laughing. So you cannot equate this to pain. You cannot equate this to discomfort. And you cannot equate this to some label. Children can have low tone. We think a lot of it as double jointed. Double jointed is low tone. How many kids I put in the quadruped position, hands and knees, and watch their elbows bow in? That is low tone. Being fearful of a movable surface like a bicycle, that is a child that is not adapting in gravity. What ends up happening is that child stays stuck in their brainstem because their body is not adapting to gravity through the vestibular system. And therefore, the eyes are going to be off and the ears are going to be off. That's what neurological intimacy means. It's also what means when we've talked about what fires together, wires together. If one is off, all three of them are off. In the beginning of looking at children many, many years ago, I found this. I found, like, just doing peripheral gaze with my thumb, checking their eye movements. I've always done ear assessments with tuning forks, looking at two tests called Weber's and Rhine's. And I would always do vestibular testing. And I found this so frequently in children. And I found myself only working on those areas, and I didn't feel like I could get anything else done. This is why back in 2012, I created what I call the Triangle of Development. And my dear, dear friend, Dr. Larry Schultz, introduced me to his table that together we called the NeuroWave. And we have this fabulous vestibular chair. We couple it with auditory and visual components. And it is a 10-hour program done 2 hours a day, 5 days in a row. The child is in darkness to only get the stimulation from what is on our visual component. And this way, we are dampening all the other senses to allow those three sensory systems to be exercised. Now, we do this with adults as well, especially concussion, TBI, vertigo, dizziness, same type of thing. If you've experienced those things, those three systems are most likely not communicating as expected. So the idea is there's many, many pieces to evaluating children for developmental progression. Eyes, ears, vestibular is definitely part of that assessment, as well as what's going on in their brain through brain mapping, as well as what's going on with your eyes, your ears, your vestibular system, your primitive reflexes, your fuel system. How do you fuel yourself? This is where our healthcare system today, unfortunately, I believe, has failed us. We have so many individual practitioners for people to go to, but who puts it all together? Well, I can tell you here at Connect My Brain, we do. This is exactly how we look at each and every child. And yes, I always like to throw in the adults because there's definitely adults here too. But it is so important if we can get to these children as early as possible. Always remember, children do not have a point of reference to tell you, hey, my vestibular isn't working right and I'm not adapting to gravity as I think I should. They just avoid. So if your little person is avoiding anything, that is a red flag. An adult, you've developed. You have a point of reference. You can pinpoint things. But children, if their beginning was interrupted at any level, at any degree, it can change how that progression is going to unfold. This is why I've created some tools to help my audience. And I hope that you will share this information. I got an email yesterday from somebody from the UK. That was very exciting. I love to see how far-reaching our information is going, because I say our community, the world, there isn't anybody anywhere that cannot benefit from understanding how these marvelous brains and bodies come online and work together. So we've created tools. These tools are designed to help you learn more, do deeper dives, get to know us. The app should be out any day now. I've got one more little video that I'm going to actually get done today and then reach out to my app developer, Keith, and we're going to be able to get it launched and we're going to put into your hands how to look at a child's development. When are they supposed to do what? It is so important that you have this piece of information. The app is free. And then we've got some memberships that you can go take a look at on our eSchool. I've so appreciated the feedback that I've gotten from some moms to help me direct what's the easiest way to put this into the hands of families. So we've added a jumpstart prior to those deeper dive memberships. And it's literally called Jumpstart. We want to put into your hands how to get your child going in a positive direction by teaching you what we call the Fantastic Seven. So be sure and go look at our eSchool, check out our memberships and the other tools that are on there. I've been so blessed to have a great group of people help me get this information to you. Stephanie helps me put together great forms and organize the eSchool. Natasha does a great job at helping us take our podcast and put it into blogs and keep that website organized. And then a very special thank you to my podcast manager, Marcy Page, because she is the one that's helping me get the podcast to you, our community, the world. Thanks for tuning in today. Be blessed. Thanks for listening. I hope today's lesson will help you or someone you love. Do you have a question or just really want to talk to somebody about brains? Connect with me over on Facebook or Instagram at Connect My Brain. Looking to understand and optimize your particular brain? Check out connectmybrain.com for course information and resources. A special thanks to Marcy Page for producing this episode. See you next class.